CliffCentral.com.
This is Dave Stewart, who was one half of the Eurythmics. Annie Lennox was the other half. Well, very 90s for you.
She was holding him back the whole time.
Yeah, she was.
What a great song.
Stunting his growth.
She was always like, I'll sing this one. Dave's like, Annie, give me a chance. Just give me a chance.
He has to wait. He had to wait.
No. Okay, Annie, enough. And then out of frustration, he made this song. Talking about her, actually, in her Heart of Stone.
Yeah, that's exactly
There's
what
the
it is.
VH1 behind the music for you this morning.
Excellent. You'd never discover that kind of information anywhere else. CliffCentral.com. It is just after 7 in the morning. By the way, we've still got a few tickets for our special night out for you and whoever you want to go out with. It's that time of year where people don't have a whole lot of money. January is just ending. And CliffCentral.com's got your back, so we're doing another exclusive movie preview. The movie is Jojo Rabbit. Much acclaimed. Everybody's talking about it. It's written and produced by the same team who did Thor. And it's a story that, I mean, it's apparently very funny, but it's also kind of thoughtful and clever and interesting. So if you want to come along, we will give you a VIP screening of Jojo Rabbit Hyde Park next Wednesday, 5th of February, 2 days before the rest of the country gets to see it. And you'll also get a cock, porn, and poke.
Sure.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's nice.
That's what you come for, Leanne.
That's what I'm going for.
That's what you're there for. Before we get into some of the important news stories of the moment, here is an interesting bit of feedback for Sia from Mike in Durban. Mike says, during Wednesday's discussion about Kobe Bryant, R.I.P., Sia mumbled something to the rest of you about all of you being carnivores. It was very dismissive. Sia went, carnivores.
Sounds about right.
Because Sia's a vegetarian. A song popped into my head as Sia's theme song from now on.
Ooh, I like a theme tune.
Love a theme tune. Do the theme.
Do the theme. Sing the theme tune. Do the music. Write the tune.
Write the theme tune.
Write the tune. Do the tune. Perform the theme tune. All right, and this is the... Jesus, what a song. This is the song that they want to be your theme song from now on. All right? It's a well-known, and this kind of goes with what we were doing just a moment ago with Dave Stewart, because it's that old. But this, they say, should be your theme song, especially because of the lyrical content.
You have to blow the dust off the vinyl record before you play it.
The new theme song for Sia. And the lyrics go.
Ooh, so far, I like it.
I got a new age girl.
Tell us what she's like.
Environmentalist girl.
Does she ride a bike?
She has a crystal necklace.
She's spending a lot of cash.
Vibes are rather reckless.
She's heading for a crash.
Or a flowing skirt blowing in a transcendental wind. And she wonders about
the... Here's the part that's very for Sia.
Mary Mo. She's a vegetarian.
And so on. So this contribution from Mike, he's given us a printout. Very thoughtful, Mike.
Wow.
He's actually written out all the lyrics. And the best part of the song is where she goes, or where the singer goes, she don't eat meat, but you sure like the bone.
You know what's great? Sia didn't know that song. No. I could see from him.
No, I did not.
I think it was before you were born.
It was preconception.
Yeah. My goodness, I'm certain of it.
That was before Mr. and Mrs. Sangweni were even thinking about having another child. Three daughters down, they were like, as long as it's not a boy, and look what happened. Unbelievable.
Okay, all right. I'll put that as a tramp stamp. She don't eat meat, but she like to bone.
She sure like the bone. All right.
That'll be my tramp stamp.
All right. A zoo in England, Leanne says, is seeking donations of Calvin Klein Obsession for its big cats. Is Calvin Klein Obsession a nice scent? I don't know. Is it a good cologne? I don't know.
I thought an obsession of Calvin Klein. Okay.
And what is it for? Is it for the tigers to wear?
Well, you know the answer, so don't be all coy.
Maybe it's a mating thing.
It's actually a treat for them.
What?
So experts have known for years that tigers, leopards, lions, and other large felines are fans of fragrances, but particularly Calvin Klein's Obsession for men.
See, meowses is more Mont Blanc.
So, a lot of zoos around the world actually incorporate scents into their animal enrichment programs. Yeah. And Big cats are known to roll around excitedly, presumably to replace the scent with their own when the right smell hits. That's kind of like how our cats react to catnip, I suppose. So cats in particular love civetone, which is a pheromone secreted by a mammal called the civet. It's also frequently manufactured synthetically for use in perfumes, which is how it's made its way to zoo animals' adoring nostrils. So, yeah, it's particularly this, for some reason, this Calvin Klein perfume is a huge hit with all of the cats.
Oh.
I didn't know cats like this. I knew cats like catnip. And my mother has a dog who's just mentally very, it's not a stable animal. And he likes the smell of nail polish remover.
Oh, really?
Mm.
That's bizarre. Cause
when she has it on cotton wool, he like rolls around in it.
That is, I've never heard of that.
That is so weird.
Where did you find that dog?
No,
a fetus.
You have no idea.
Maybe he was left abandoned behind a nail polish factory.
Fetus.
Where did you find your dog? Fetus.
What I'm getting out of this story is if you're ever attacked by a tiger,
spray
just spray
some Calvin Klein obsession. Yeah, yeah. Mind you, it might make it want to eat you more.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They all just roll over you and squash you. Axe body spray is also really a big one
that's
with the tigers.
With the younger tigers.
Yeah.
It's obviously with the younger tigers who are going out on a Friday.
Or the cougars. So, yeah, at Halloween, this zoo, which is in England, actually sprays hollowed-out pumpkins with each animal's favorite scent and then fills the pumpkins with meat.
Doesn't make it any better. You run a zoo. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, what are they?
Yeah, it's not good. I don't like zoos. I don't want to support
terrible
them
places.
Yeah,
a lot of them have changed their attitudes, and the animals are there for a reason, because they haven't been able to thrive, etc.
Yeah.
Well... I'm happy for these cats. Let them have their moment of some elation in an otherwise miserable environment.
Oh, East London has a zoo.
Oh?
That's the other thing East London
Someone
has.
From East London tried to send us a message just now, but I think they ran out of data.
Quick correction there, Ben. East London is a zoo.
Sure. Oh, that's very Lilo just takes it to the next level of
controversy. Oh, that's something else you hate. Okay.
That on his list.
East London.
East London apparently hosted the Ironman 70.3 triathlon event last Sunday. We've been hosting it for 13 years, and then the message sort of dies out because I think they ran out of data.
Yeah, so I know they do
signal.
There's a half. I'm pretty sure they do a full as well.
No, it's in PE, Ben.
All right.
It's in the same place.
No need for us to fight. No need to fight over something only five people on Earth care about.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I just think it's fun to list things from East London.
It's really not. We've run out already.
It's a short
one
game.
Show.
It's a short game, but I mean, it's fun.
If you played this as a drinking game, everyone would be drunk. All right, the exact age we lose our ambition. This is scary.
Oh.
A lot of people feel, I've got everything I need. I've done everything I need. I'm happy with my routines. Is this what's happening to people of a certain age?
Yeah, the exact age has actually been found by a group of researchers led by Dr. Naveen Puri.
Not your favorite Dr. Mike.
No, not him.
No.
So the whole theory behind it is that the older that we get, the more our self-assurance grows and the quicker our vitality wanes. So yes. There's a specific point, and the age is 33.
Oh, my God, no!
That is the sweet spot that exists on the border of vigor and lived experience.
I'm 33 now. Is this my last
You're
good year?
You're losing
this
your ambition.
This is it. I can see the life draining from your face right now.
So,
if you find that your diminishing ambition is actually happening, you'd be able to turn that around completely.
So how?
Are you saying
all about curbing the U-bend?
What?
Curbing the U-bend.
I beg your pardon. You didn't ask if you're going to bring that up. Now I'm embarrassed. How do you know about my U-bend?
Yeah, you kiss your mother with that mouth, Len.
Go on, tell us.
So despite contrasting socioeconomic backgrounds, so this wasn't just one group of people, the majority of respondents expressed the same three immediate life goals. Eating healthy more often, saving money, getting in shape.
Yeah.
But the problem is saving money is often associated with the lack of the other two. Because to eat healthy, you do need to spend more money, and getting in shape can sometimes cost money. Some of the other the others on the lists were holidaying to a dream destination, being kinder to oneself, paying off debt, practicing mindfulness. Sia's already ahead of his U-bend.
See?
Yeah.
Everyone must go to a silent retreat.
Yeah, if you haven't heard the first hour this morning, Sia admitted that for his birthday weekend, because it's his birthday on Monday, he's going to a silent retreat.
Hamana, 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 hamana.
Sia is the fifth golden girl. He really is.
Oh, my gosh. Not even like the sixth Spice Girl or like the fourth Destiny's Child member.
No, the fifth golden girl.
Wow. Thanks, Ben.
Gosh. All right. So you can arrest this horrible lack of ambition.
And just so you know, the U-bend is the point in the aging process where perspective begins to frustrate the aims of ego. It's that whole...
What does that even mean?
Exhausting.
What is
hell
that?
Of a topic there. Like,
I've just lost ambition for this topic.
So I went to the dentist this week, which is basically a massive cash operation.
Sure. And vets.
Like, you spend less if you go to a strip club drunk. And but then while I was in this chair being prodded and told that I need to go do this and that, I kind of thought, like, when you get to a certain stage, what do you let go and what do you cling on to? Like, as a guy, okay, obviously aesthetics is a big thing. So I know my face is becoming wrinkled, but I'm not doing Botox. I refuse.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
No.
So I'll slap a bit of Nivea around the chops every morning and hope for the best.
Yeah.
My hair, also, it's going, okay? I can't fight that. I'm not going to go for one of those Jacques Colors hair hats. It's going. Cool.
A toupee is not for you.
But a hair hat. But your mouth is the one thing where you still got to keep investing in, because if that goes bad, then you die, basically.
Yeah, you die.
And then you got like fisherman's breath.
Yeah, it becomes...
Like, these are the things that, like, if there's one thing you're going to back, it's your mouth. You've got to put money in your mouth.
I mean, you think about elephants. They die when their teeth have ground down and they can't chew anymore.
Yeah.
That's what kills them, not old age.
Yeah. So all the other stuff, like, if I had Ryan Reynolds' money, maybe I could look like Ryan Reynolds, sure, but I don't. So you got to really fight your battles here.
Yeah.
And it was such a horribly depressing thing that...
So you're not going to choose where to put your money to keep yourself on the market.
For something that's
closed. Any luck since the last Tinder discussion we had?
No, I don't.
Still dry.
I haven't really been on Tinder much this week. Mm-hmm. We can have a look afterwards.
Yeah, we
see what's in this event.
Ben and I have now made it a regular Friday activity.
Friday coffee and Tinder look.
He comes and sits in my office. We both have a cup of coffee. And then we look at the
prospects.
we observe this cavalcade of... horror that
I still believe, and my strategy still is, I'm going to meet an air hostess through Tinder, and I might see her.
I should show you guys
once, twice a month
what it looks like on the other side of the world as well.
I don't want to.
Do that. No.
What other side of the world?
Like from
for me, I'm interested in guys, so you'll see guy pictures.
Yes, yeah.
No, I didn't know if we were being literal.
You think Leanne's got a dating app from the other side, like dead people?
Sia is quite. He's not very complimentary about two things in particular. Leanne's dating life and strippers.
What?
He's got a real problem with strippers.
It's a thing for carnivores,
very,
too.
Yeah, you look down on them. You've really got a terrible... what would you call it?
It's a sanctimony. It's a
superiority complex.
Yeah, is this you?
About strippers. Also, terrible.
Yeah, probably not your line. Maybe
very
more.
Judgmental. You criticize the way they dress. You criticize the way they dance.
I'm actually not going to.
You criticize how much they charge.
See, that's why I'm not going to a gay bar with him, because he'll be so critical, everybody, and he'll kill my vibe.
Maybe he won't be so bad at the bar, but he'd be definitely awful at the strip club. All right, but moving on. So you do not have to lose your ambition. And as Ben said, you can choose and prioritize things like your mouth, so you don't have fisherman's breath.
Yeah.
And you can still address.
But now, what I heard was, I'm 33. Am I losing my vigor this year?
No, your ambition, unless you do something about it.
Thank goodness.
I think you lost your vigor a long time ago. So yeah. I saw him on Saturday. I said, we must go for some drinks. I know he doesn't drink, but we can still go out. And then I messaged him like 3 hours later after not seeing him at the cricket. He's like, oh, yeah, there was just a whole bunch of stuff happening, and now I'm at home. And it's Saturday night in summer.
It's horrible.
And he's 33.
Well, now you know why, Ben. I've lost my vigor.
You lost your vigor. That was the moment.
Hate to hear it.
All right. Well, there's an interesting story that Leanne mentioned to us just a moment ago about how, for example, there are sounds in the world that we still don't know. We don't know how to deal with them. We're not sure what we can do to figure them out. Maybe they mean something. Maybe they're terrifically important.
The first one is the loneliest whale.
Oh.
Oh, God. That's so depressing. That's the saddest sentence ever heard. Oh.
It's the 52 hertz whale. It was picked up when the U.S. Navy gave scientists access to a network of hydrophones built in the 1950s to eavesdrop, and they picked up the noise of this lonely whale. It's between 15 to 25 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the sound's on there.
I'm going to try and get it, but there's some...
Between a blue whale and another species, or death, as the sounds we make can be influenced.
That's
by
also a horrible accent, by
the New
way.
Zealand
that's a
accent.
Sound, yeah, it's a sound we haven't figured out either yet. No,
Australia light.
I don't know that particular sound, just judging by the hertz, the frequency of it, I don't think we can hear it.
Well, if these are sounds we haven't heard, how will we hear it in this storm?
Well, you don't know. What else?
The second one there is the Seneca guns, I believe.
Seneca
guns in North Carolina.
That sounds to me like someone's alarm.
They're like ghostly detonations that they say have plagued residents near upstate New York's Seneca Lake.
Ooh,
yeah, weird.
But that's not an explosion?
No, they speculate that earthquakes might be responsible for these like cannon-like sounds.
Can you imagine if Sia lived near there? Listen to how he responded to that.
Ooh.
Ooh. No, I didn't know it was coming. Okay,
every 10 minutes,
preempt
he'd be,
So these sounds actually rattle windows. They can even open and close doors, but they've never found direct evidence of a connection.
Hmm.
Other things that they say it might be is meteorites, covert military operations.
But it happens all the time.
Yeah. No one can figure out. Scientists are working on it.
Hmm.
They think it might even be methane gas bubbling up from beneath
That's
the water to burst with a pop.
That's probably it.
Listen, speaking of that, I found an app called Shh.
That monitors your farts?
Prediction X fart?
No, you use it in the loo and it hides the noises that you're making.
Splashing toilet noises, yeah.
You get like a white noise, body white noise cam.
You know what happens though?
And you actually have this downloaded already.
You know some people live in fairly confined spaces. I mean, it's expensive to own property these days. And if someone has a party at their flat and it's like a one bedroom flat and they've got the bog right next to the entrance, for example, or right next to the sitting room, sometimes that, you know, the door doesn't hide a lot. So you go into their place, and if you're one of those people who poos in other people's houses, I don't, you've got to have something to disguise the noises.
Mm.
Well, this app, you can go into a number of different scenarios.
Yeah.
The one it plays is like, it sounds of like another person coming into the cubicle.
Give us a test of that.
I would if it weren't for the free adverts.
Oh, I hate that.
You got to pay for that.
All right, let's go. So what do you play this while you're in the loo and then it disguises the noises?
Yeah, it makes noises of like someone coming in, whistling, closing doors, opening doors.
So basically you don't have to hear this.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this the noise?
Oh, no.
It's a gourd.
This is gourd the other day.
So these are the noises that it makes.
That sounds like someone frying sausages.
Well, it sounds like a tap being turned on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that sounds like frying sausages.
It does.
And then, like, it'll have flushing noises and noises of other people coming in.
I don't understand how that's going to block out the sound of...
When is it useful?
See, the thing is, like, in our toilets, there's only one bog, right? You don't want sound of flushing noises because it looks like you're courtesy flushing.
And then
you're clearly doing something if you're doing that.
Well, the other thing about most of these bogs is also, if you have taken note of people's footwear... It's easy to identify who it is.
That's a
in
problem.
The cubicle, because the men's bog here is so small. It's tiny. It's like a cupboard.
Look, there might as well not even be a door in there.
No.
It's already personal.
Like if you're in,
it's a toilet of shame. That it really is.
I was in there the other day and there were already two people and I just turned around and went to it. Because the one was in the actual, there's a loo with a door, but you can see under it. And it's at the window, and then there's a urinal, but the urinal is so close to the basin,
it's so small. Mm. If you're having a number one and you cough, you can go from urinal to sink. It's tiny.
Honestly, yeah. If you feel like rinsing your nether regions as well, you can just rinse it.
I think I won't go to prison in life. I can keep my stuff together. But every time I walk in there, I get that flash of like, okay, this is it. This is what doing time is.
Like, yeah.
And the women's bathroom, by contrast, is enormous. It's palatial.
It smells so good.
There's two basins. It always looks great. There's space in there. You could dance a ballet in the women's bathroom. In the men's bathroom, you're lucky. If someone walks in, you have to kind of turn to your side and side.
You can't stretch out your arms in the men's loo.
No.
Sometimes when I forget my moisturizer, I just knock on the door of the women's room. Yeah, because they have some moisturizer
in
there as well.
They moisturizer? Yes.
Hand cream, hand soap.
They've got Calvin Klein Tiger in there as well.
Obsession. Mm.
So just in closing with this app called Shh, once you're done, because you pull down the toilet roll, you pull it down with your finger, drag it down when you start.
We know how toileting works.
When you start, and then when you're finished, you do that again on the screen. Oh. And it gives you your chocolate starfish workout club statistics.
Statistics.
On how long it took you, or if you wanted
to get the job done.
Says, or do another.
Good Lord.
And by the way, folks, it's the year 2020. Do we really have to have these embarrassing doors on the loo cubicles that just show off our feet? Why do we have to show off our feet?
Doors in bathrooms should reach the floor and the ceiling.
It's for airflow, though.
It's airflow and it's to stop perverts from doing things in bathrooms.
Oh.
Yeah. Like George
and
Michael. Did.
And drugs.
Yeah, and George
Don't
Michael.
Don't you dare use George Michael.
George Michael's.
It happened in a bad way.
Isn't he... He's dead, yeah.
This is Satan mentioned.
He died on Christmas.
Well,
to
then
make
the toilets
sad.
Can go all the way to the bottom again because he's dead.
Because he's dead.
Only on the
right.
Hampstead Heath that needs to do that.
Toilets are safe again.
Anyway, let's lighten the load.
Make toilets safe again.
Look, men go to hurt each other. Look, let's lighten the load here. The actual formula for a successful relationship has been like established.
Oh, my God.
Don't get in one.
Mbulelo.
Yes.
You are so cynical.
Agreed
with you. Yeah. 100% bulletproof.
33-year-old. No, it's to be boring. If you are boring, you'll have a successful long relationship.
Really? That's it?
This what? Is the most scientific thing I've ever shared with anyone.
You see those couples who go to Wimpy every Wednesday together, sit there and hold hands.
It all makes perfect sense now. If you're boring and you're comfortable being boring together, that's how you stay together. The moment that anyone's a little bit too rock and roll in a relationship, that's when all the upheaval starts to happen. But if you're just content to watch TV together, go do the same kind of things, that's how you stay together and that's how you stay in love.
Beautiful.
It's
so
simple.
Stop being so ambitious and looking forward
to
things.
So stop trying to be so
excite.
Ambitious. And
that
so
makes sense.
Beautiful. If you're boring, then you'll stay boring forever together. Mm-hmm. So if that's your goal, then there we go. Don't roll the dice. Just
they've
turn
done
the TV on.
Yeah, they've done the experiments. They've compiled the data. They've figured it out. Mm-hmm. If you think you need to be in a happy, long-term relationship, be as boring as possible.
Yeah.
Be the kind of couple who don't even dress up for each other. You're not sexually into each other at all anymore. You just do it because you're used to it. It's really just something to do. It's like talking about how was your day? You know when sometimes the wife or the husband gets home and they go, how was your day? Because that's what you do.
That's what you do.
You don't really care. You're not even listening, probably. You're on your phone.
So sad.
Like if you're single or your relationship's a bit rocky, it's because you're probably an exciting person.
Yeah.
So don't knock it. Just if you want to be that person who wants to be with someone happily ever after, great. Then just be of understanding
this.
Stick
to the routine.
Stick to the routine. Be boring and you'll nail it.
There we are.
Sage advice.
So in other words,
so Sia, why,
everyone
why
in this room
not,
is not going to have a long relationship.
No, we might. We could be bored. Turned boring. Look, Bolillo's at the cusp now by tomorrow.
Sia's listening to Enya this weekend. He's the most relationship conducive in this whole group here.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
still stepping out of his
Ben's
comfort
only
zone.
Just discovered that after the cricket, he can hit a gay bar and have a good time.
Look at this, I'm rolling the dice on a weekly basis here.
You're way too exciting. Just calm it the fuck down, Ben. You'll get into a relationship. I don't think this is so wrong. And you may poo-poo people who are boring, but they have less highs and lows. Mm. There's a consistency there. They're probably the kind of people who get shit done. They have routines.
Yeah, completely.
You know?
It takes all kinds. Like, relationships are great. I mean, I had very happy times in a relationship, and I was boring.
Well, that's it. There you were so boring during... I wasn't going to say it, but now you brought it up. You were kind of boring while you were in a relationship.
Yeah.
You didn't do it. You just did relationship things.
And they really, are boring people. People in relationships are super
you
boring.
You shut up, because you have absolutely no locus standi in this respect.
Yeah, you're boring single. That's like an oxymoron.
Biggest insult ever. a boring single.
All right. I knew that we had scratched a wound here, and now the messages are pouring in about toilets. Whenever this comes up,
always, it makes without fail.
Makes the whole show sound so lavatorial, so I apologize to anyone who didn't come for this nonsense and filth this morning, but here we are. So, first message here, Carl says, the toilet within the bathroom at our office has no window. So when someone makes a rough poo, they close the door so as not to spread the stench. But that's the worst thing they could do, because it cannot escape anywhere. So the next unsuspecting person gets sarin gas.
Hot boxed.
Yeah, but, hang on a second. That's like building out of asbestos. That's a human rights violation.
You cannot build. Now, I don't know a lot about architecture, but the bit that I have done in research and the frustrations I have around my life with that I didn't become an architect, I managed
to. You know
to,
more than any
I
of us
read
here.
Quite a lot. You cannot have a bathroom without ventilation.
Well, it's
not allowed
like
to
an
have
extractor.
It. It's illegal.
People always claim extractor fans, but if things break, the extractor fans are the first thing that breaks.
It's a little whirring thing in the roof. It's not going to pull out the stench of someone who's been out in the streets for weeks. It's not going to remove that for successfully. You need a window, and bathrooms should have windows and ventilation, not just one. Really, it's just not on. And if it's internal bathroom, like a lot of office buildings have, you've got to have powerful ventilation.
But you know what's almost as bad? It's like after someone's really damaged the Dalton, is that they go in there with those really cheap air fresheners, which all it does is that...
You get peach smelling poop.
All you're doing is you're adding color to the...
Yeah.
It's just like...
leave it alone, rather
than
let it be.
The two mix together and it becomes that much more...
Yeah.
Acrid.
Yeah, it's like
it
it's
eats
like
away
a phrase,
at the tiles and
the
wall.
You can't polish a turd or you know, dress it up. And
although you do get much better fragrances these days, like vanilla and more sort of
neutralizing.
Yeah.
Light a candle,
but
potpourri
is not a good one to use.
You don't want pina colada toilet spray.
Company that Sean worked for had an actual like a sofa, like a couch in the bathroom and a bath.
What?
Sounds like a country club.
What for?
Sounds like why? Sounds like a sexual harassment case when it happened.
Oh, perhaps if like people are changing.
When you worked for Harvey Weinstein, tell us more.
Yeah, like, sir, I've got the financial reports for the year. Come in, I'm only pooping.
What?
I have a remote fart app on my Samsung watch. I can make my phone fart in my back pocket. My office colleagues were not impressed with me. They did, however, find it funny when I told them the next day. That's quite a clever app. That's cool. Even better if you can use your watch.
Mm.
You leave it on someone else's desk. That's funny. Okay. Use matches. That's some useful advice too.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of people with more toilet advice. I'm going to leave a lot of this out.
Yeah,
we don't need
I reckon.
To know. Yeah, we really don't. We don't need that much more toilet advice.
No.
And also, it's embarrassing for us to talk about toilets while Debbie's here. You know, she's a respectable woman.
She's a respectable individual,
yeah,
professional.
She's done some incredible stuff on Carte Blanche, and she's not the kind of person who needs to be exposed to this filth.
No, we invite her here. What do we do? Talk
about toilets.
Again,
so embarrassing. Let's get her in here. Let's talk to Debbie. She's just terrific.
She is.
And by the way, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the world's most famous astrophysicist, is coming up in a short while. But it is the end of an era. Last Sunday, the whole country watched as Devi Sankari Govender graced our TV screens for the last time as a presenter on Carte Blanche. So we love her, and we thought, you know, we've got to find out how she's doing. She wasn't edged out by Derek or anything. You know,
I heard Derek's
never know.
I heard Derek's like this. Very territorial.
Yeah. I mean, look how long he's lasted. He kicked old Ruder to the curb, you know. You got to watch out, that Derek. He seems like a nice guy, but you never know. Still waters. You know what people say. So here she is. She's here to talk to us this morning. We're going to find out what's going on in her life, find out how the family are, everything you need to know from Devi. It's so nice to see you.
Oh, guys, thanks for inviting me.
I know we had you here before, but we were talking about very serious things then.
During that Oscar trial channel, remember we were neighbors.
Yeah, that's right. You guys came here every day.
Yeah.
Now, that obviously feels like ancient history, but you have been with Carte Blanche for a long time.
I feel like ancient history. 18 years. That's a long time to be in one spot.
But if you look at how you were on TV in the beginning and how you haven't changed a lot.
Look, the hair got better.
Yeah. You mean your hair wasn't great in the beginning? I mean, listen, have you ever seen those first seasons of Idols where I was on? My God.
Oh, really?
Really?
Frightening. Frightening. I hate that about TV is that people do. They replay old stuff.
And it's there forever.
And especially on a show like Carte Blanche, they go and they do follow-ups like 10 years down the line. And you're like, Jesus, what was I doing there with my hair?
And shoulder pads.
Was that a thing?
It was a thing when I started. Well, I don't know whether it was a Durban thing because I remember when I started.
It was a news thing.
The shoulder pads.
Yeah, because when I was presenting TV news, I had to have the shoulder pads.
That and the hair for me was the worst thing ever.
But Devi, I'm really excited for you because I think that this is a great move. We like Carte Blanche, but we don't love it. It just upsets people on a Sunday. You know, it obviously important work is being done, but it's very depressing. And I used to hear that music and think, oh, God, now we're going to hear about how the country's going down the toilet.
Well, now you blame Derek when you hear the music because I'm not there.
I've always blamed him. But I thought, you know, and I've met you a couple of times, and you're actually a very happy person. And you're not the kind of person who's confrontational or aggressive.
No.
And everybody got that side of you because that's kind of what the show is. It's investigative journalism. Mm. And listen, don't get me wrong. I have loads of respect for George Mazarakis and the whole team who put that show together years ago and everyone who's been on it. But it's kind of nice to now not be part of what ruins people's Sunday, don't you think?
Look, it's a couple of things for me. The first thing, it really is a couple of things. One, shows like Carte Blanche, maybe a lot of people do feel depressed when they watch it, but the truth is somebody's got to do that job in a country like South Africa. Because, I mean, if I think about how we expose the Eskom prepayment,
yes.
We don't even know that there was such a thing as state capture at the time. It didn't even have a name when we discovered that.
You bring up that case, but the one that I will always remember you being involved in, and I watched that, and I could not believe what I was seeing when the Gumtree gang in Durban locked you in a cell phone shop or something. They put you in a cage.
Well, they locked us up in the shop and beat us up. Yeah. That was 2005.
My God.
That was my almost baptism of fire.
But I mean, that kind of set you up for being this fearless, tough woman who was not going to take any nonsense. And you guys, you nailed them.
Yep.
Oh, that was some good stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful TV.
Yeah, when the presenter's getting a clap. Yeah, always great TV.
I'm sorry that sometimes you got to do what you got to do for ratings. You didn't know that was going to come.
That was the thing that Idols was always lacking.
Sure.
A couple of claps.
Yeah.
We needed some of those. But it is also like TV changes and shows like that change. And for you also, I'm sure sometimes you just look at the thing and you go, it's time for something new.
That's exactly what I felt, but I didn't go into 2019 thinking that this was the year everything was going to change for me.
Sure.
I just had this thought in around about July, August last year. My daughter was finishing matric.
Right.
She's going off on a scholarship to the US this year.
Ben was telling us about it.
Golf scholarship, which is great. My son is in grade 10. I thought, what is my new next? And it's very difficult to even confront decisions like that when you're having fun.
But weren't you getting lots of offers through the course of the time you were at Carte Blanche as well? People saying, won't you come and do this? Won't you come and do that? There's stuff you could have done in addition to Carte Blanche.
I could have.
And you probably did one or two things. But, a big job offer. I mean, we need people who have the integrity that you do, the reputation you do. You're very trustworthy, incredible.
It's a key word, the integrity, because that's not exactly a huge commodity.
No, in South Africa, that's pretty hard to come by.
Integrity and competent in one body. Yeah. That's like,
I mean, really, you should be president.
It's unheard of.
That's what we're getting at.
Pay her $1 billion a day, she's underpaid.
Yeah.
That was the rumor during the rounds.
What, did you
I was going
run?
Into politics.
Oh no.
You wouldn't do that.
What a mug's game.
No, you're competent. You're a competent person. Horrible. Please don't go into South African
politics. But also, if you went into politics, you'd end up hating yourself.
Yeah.
That is a truly awful business.
And everybody else around me.
Like, is there any politician at the moment who you'd even want at the dinner table with your children? It would be a bad example for them.
No.
Yep.
No. They should be rubbing your feet. You'd be the smartest person there. Yeah. Their IQs combined, all of them wouldn't.
Oh. So, all right. First of all, just tell me about this daughter of yours and her golf, because this is quite something.
So, she's 18. She started playing golf when she was 4.5 years old while we lived in Durban. And she started with one of those plastic sets from Pick and Pay.
It must have been one of those kids' sets.
1999 SA Rands one. You know the one in the bargain bin next to the till.
I know those.
So we bought her one, and she looked very competent. Then I thought, well, I'm her mum. Obviously, I'm going to think she's fantastic.
Parents really
I don't know much about golf. Yeah. We moved up to Johannesburg. I sent my husband and her to the World of Golf place. I said, go see if she's any good. And he calls me from there, and he says, you're not going to believe this. They're telling me she's got a natural swing. I don't know where it came from. In my head, I was thinking, now what's this going to cost?
That is the first question. But you didn't immediately think, wow, that she could make us some serious cash.
No, that was
Tiger Woods' dad's plan.
I had to buy a house now in Johannesburg. That was my focus at that point. And the next thing I know, 2 years later, she did her first international tournament. Every year since then, she's been traveling. She represented South Africa at the Junior Olympics.
That's amazing.
It is amazing, and she's very focused, and we just supported her when we realized what we had and the fact that she wanted to do this.
Yeah, because that's always the first question. It's like, what's the balance between parent pressure and child desire kind of thing?
Completely.
Isn't it so nice to have a kid who's really good at something? One of the reasons that I don't have kids is because I'm just terrified that they'll be so average. And like, at least you've got, you know, your daughter. I don't know about your son. I'm sure he's good at something.
He's an international debater.
Oh.
Yes.
All right. You see? That's very impressive, too. So you got 2 out of 2. But I'm so worried that if I had a kid, they would just be middle of the road, competent. But
they'd probably have really good relationships, as Ben's point earlier.
Yeah, but like, you know, they do boring things. And I would just not be able to live with a kid like that. So it's nice for you that actually your kids are pretty amazing. And they do their, you know, they walk into a room, people are like, they want to talk to your kids as much as they want to talk to you.
Yeah.
That's
and they're
good.
They're good kids.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you've raised them well, but also they're ambitious, which is good. They're not going to end up living off of you like most millennials until they're 40.
Yeah, but guys, here's the thing, right? Wait. We don't know how they're going to turn out in the end. We're still in that early part.
I don't know, huh? It sounds like they're on a good trajectory here. It looks good. And your husband, he's happy with them?
Yeah, he's nice guy.
I mean, he's in a house with some pretty important performers here. I mean, is he also...
He says that all the time.
He is. He's with all these alpha personalities. Is he the shock absorber? Is he
he's the stable one.
Yeah. Well, that's good, right?
He's there.
Because you need the balance.
You need the balance. You do. But it's also tough, remember, like when you've got this child of mine so good at the golf, then what do? Do you now...
Talk about your son as well.
And I didn't want my son growing up on a golf course because I saw that with the other kids. So we decided to divide and rule. So guess where my son would spend his entire weekend? With me and Carte Blanche.
That's not a good thing for a small child.
He would be in his carry cot, drinking his milk, playing with his toys. I'd be doing voiceovers.
Wow.
And I didn't realize until much later on when he started debating just the way he thinks. It came from Carte Blanche. Mm.
You think it had an influence?
It 100% had an influence. You know how I know? Because he uses that psychology on me, and I've got no answers.
He's been listening to Derek's conversations. Now look at him go.
That's amazing. That's really interesting. Because, there's this often nurture-nature debate that all parents and everyone who's interested in psychology gets into. And people have figured out that there are enormous amounts of influence you can have on a kid in the way they think, not necessarily just what they think, but the way they think at a young age, if they're exposed to things. And I imagine that this must be one of the most exciting things to see as a parent. It's one of the reasons that you want to be a parent, because you watch these children develop these little personalities, the talents, the skills, the intellect grows, their ability to try and sometimes they are cleverer than the parents. You know, sometimes they can outdo the parents when it comes to thinking, and they can be quite manipulative kids. But it's rewarding, right?
But like the parents will provide them the ability to be that.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's rewarding.
It is rewarding, but you must remember the tough times, eh? Kids, it's not always happy stuff with kids. It's difficult stuff as well.
Yeah, you mustn't look at Leanne error. When you ask that question. She has no idea.
Yeah.
She's right. Never had children.
No, I don't know anything
She's
about
barren.
Kids.
Yeah, what's a terrible thing to say? Do they treat you like this on the show all the time? Why are you
just
laughing?
Gareth. Just Gareth, not me.
No, but I don't.
Because sometimes it takes an outsider to see these things, hey?
To okay? report the abuse.
Look at this.
I just shake my head at this. It doesn't. I'm it doesn't sorry, bug me. It really doesn't bug me.
But deep down, it must.
No, not at all.
Yeah. You mustn't put
don't
up with this.
Don't you bring your carte blanche stuff here. Listen, we're having a happy time. Don't you come here and investigative report us.
So tell me. I mean, did carte blanche? Was it good money? We know that it was stimulating work.
Yeah, very yeah.
And you met really interesting people. You could go anywhere.
I met Krezos as well.
Sure,
eh?
Of course. Yeah. But you got to meet anyone you wanted to meet.
I did.
You could interview presidents. You could fly around the world if you needed to cover a story that was international. You got some criminals, people who were at the center of the national narrative.
Mm.
Right. And this is very stimulating work. But it's also kind of exhausting.
Extremely exhausting. I mean, you'd watch a story on a Sunday. It would run for 10 minutes. But it would have taken 2 days of shooting.
Right.
Another 3 days of editing. Then the lawyers and everybody looking at it. It's an exhaustive process. And then you run from story to story as the journalist on it. And then in a week sometimes, you're working every day and you're working every weekend. But that's what it took. But the show airs on a Sunday.
How did they find you for Carte Blanche, or how did you find them?
No, I chose them.
Oh.
I was 15 years old, and I watched the very first episode of Carte Blanche. I was in Standard 8.
Wow.
I watched the show, and when the credits ran, I said to my parents, I'm going to work for these people one day.
You are driven as hell.
I decided that.
That's phenomenal.
And then everything I did after that was, I was making my way towards it. So, I mean, I started on the SABC on radio when I was 20. And then I just moved on from there at the Sunday Times. I spent some time. And then I was finally ready. And I sent off a show reel.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months later, they said, come and have a chat to us. And I did. And that was 19 years ago.
Well, God help us if you decide to be a villain, because you obviously are so goal-driven.
You'll achieve that.
And you'd win. Like, not like the Bond villains who are incompetent. You'd actually make it happen.
She's not going into politics, Gary.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, but you can't tell us what's next, but it sounds like you've got some exciting things lined up.
I do have exciting things.
You are not the kind of person who would have just left Carte Blanche without a plan.
And disappeared. No.
But I mean, even if you had gone out of the media space, there are quite possibly a lot of things that have been thrown your way that might be interesting.
Mm.
And you're not doing this for attention.
No.
Yeah, it's not
I'm doing this because I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the journalism in the country, we hear a lot of people talking about fake news. There are a lot of people who are worried about the credibility of sources internationally and locally. It's all over the world. Do you, as someone who has been at the forefront of investigative journalism in this country, do you feel like we have good sources for news? Do you feel like people are as informed as they could be? Has the internet helped, or has it made it worse?
I think the internet has made us sharper. And I think we all need to actually get sharper than we already are.
Yeah.
Because we believe everything, and that's a problem. And now when you've got so many different sources of news, you and your eyes and that screen need to be a lot more fussy about what you choose to take in and share, because that's where the problem is, lies in the sharing, because we share it as if it's real. We do have credible sources of news, I think so, but we need to be more circumspect as people who consume news.
Yeah, because you don't actually, if you're not following credible sources, you are just spreading more of the fake news, and then you're part of the problem.
Mm. Literally, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we've often spoken about that, how you must let a story develop, not just take the TMZ headline as like the given.
Mm.
Yeah, we saw that now with this Kobe Bryant thing.
And there is so much pressure, obviously, to be first with the news that often people are not accurate.
I've always had this opinion, hang back. If you're not sure, hang back. And wait and see for yourself, dig a little bit more.
So who are you following for your news? I mean, do you wake up in the morning and have a news routine? Are you on top of current affairs? Is that part of your life?
Mm.
So when you wake up, do you go on social media? Do you go to certain sites?
I get online newspaper kind of stuff.
Oh, so you subscribe to?
I subscribe so I can read quickly.
Do you pay for these subscriptions?
No.
No. Because news is free.
No.
This is the problem, though, for a lot of people, is that although the news is free and there's so much information online, someone has to pay for that because
someone
there are journalists
to.
Doing work.
But in saying I don't pay for it, so I have a subscription to the Sunday Times. I do have that.
Yeah, you're not cheating. I'm not saying you're cheating. Don't get me wrong.
No.
Don't accuse me.
No. So a lot of newspapers have realized that's the one way to make content live, is to then deliver it to you. But you then have to also go through Facebook and see what's happening.
Yeah. And that's where it gets marshy and complex.
What,
yeah.
See what the people are saying and what they're thinking.
And what opinions are and where people seem to be moving. Not an exact science, though.
No, absolutely. All right, well, George is here. He's going to take us through some stuff with Auto Trader in just a moment or two. But we've also got Debbie here. If you've got any questions for her, you can send us those on 0797482090. First of all, Debbie, this is someone who wants to know, what would you do to solve the woes of South Africa? Sure, that's not a complex question.
Now, why are you guys getting so heavy in the morning?
Jesus, Jenny. Wow, Jenny, I mean, would you like a thesis? When would you like it by? Do you even want to try that? No.
We must stop this party politics nonsense that's going on.
I've got a simpler question for you, Debbie. The gentleman you worked with for 18 years, was it? He seems like such a great guy whenever we watch him. Mm-hmm. But now that you've left, you can tell us.
You're talking Bongani or Derek?
Is Derek a monster?
Derek is the nicest guy ever.
All right. Now I can see.
Really is.
You didn't leave because of him, because that was Ben. Ben thought that was it.
My gran used to do Derek's washing.
What?
Yeah, they lived in the same complex.
Oh, wow.
And when he first moved in, he would bring his washing to her to do. I really need to check the facts around that, because as I'm saying it, it sounds bizarre.
No, it does.
No, but Derek is charming. I believe it.
He could get people to do his washing.
See, I told you he's a monster.
Stop it.
I love Derek. I love Derek.
All right. So there are lots of people saying they're going to miss you on Carte Blanche. Mm. And people saying you did the most incredible stories on Carte Blanche. They just absolutely loved everything you did. And obviously they're going to suffer in the ratings because you're not there anymore. Well, we hope not. You know, you can do two things. They can keep on doing well and Debbie can keep on doing well.
Mm.
You're not tied to the bloody show. It's not all you've ever done in your life. Heaven's sake.
You know, like there's always a joke that Carte Blanche makes more people emigrate than anything else. But now, after all the years of you being there, like, has this tainted
your... I'm still not immigrating.
No.
Has this tainted your outlook, or do you think that a lot of the problems in this country are like any other country in the world, or do we have such incredibly unique problems that we should be worried about?
No, we like everybody else, but we take ourselves very seriously because we're very invested in Team South Africa. So we get upset, and we should get upset. I'm not emigrating, because people thought that for a while, that's what I was going to do. I love the fact that we are passionate about who we are and how we can do things differently and better. And at least we have conversations around that.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I'm very excited that you're going to do interesting new things. And you'll tell us as soon as you
can, right?
You're not going to hide this stuff away from us. We're going to find out in some other newspaper. All right. So, Devi Sankari Govender, it's a pleasure to see you. Stick around. You don't have to rush away because maybe George says something that's interesting and, you know, you might want to comment. You never know with George. And you can obviously catch Carte Blanche on a Sunday. They carry on. And I hope they're not going to investigate you one day. I mean, imagine it. Wouldn't that be a turnaround for the books? Highest rated episode ever. They come and they bust into your office.
Someone should investigate like Derek's washing habits.
That we should dig into that.
That Derek, we should go into.
Derek's guilty old ladies do their washing through his charming smile.
All right, so George, how are you?
Hey, good and you, Gareth.
Yeah, good. All right, what's happening in the world of motoring?
My wife's a big fan of Devi.
Everyone's a big fan.
And you? What about you?
I'm a big fan of Devi too, of course.
That's nice.
I didn't realize she liked to fish for compliments like this, huh? All right, so what's up, George?
You didn't need to. I was getting there. Mini is going to launch a car sharing service in South Africa. At the moment, they're busy doing a pilot. They're going to give the public the opportunity to experience a Mini. So if this pilot works out, then we might see a situation where you don't have to own the Mini outright.
Hang on. Why would anyone want to do this?
So while I was going to ask the question, would you share your car?
No. Uh-uh.
You don't want someone else driving around in your car.
Not only I must sit there.
Yeah, it's a very European kind of thing. But
I don't know if it's South African, to be honest. No. But
also, I don't know that people are responsible enough.
Yeah.
The chances of them crashing your car, and what, you're going to get some money for it?
Yeah, well,
I don't even let my husband use my car. Really? Because it all comes back with scratches, and then he's got that Angas look on his face. No, it wasn't me. Shame. Oh, sorry, guys.
Or you have to take it to the panel beater quickly because you had a scratch.
Angas. No. Angas. I know. That Angas thing is a very... Only Durban people understand that, but it's a look. All right. What else, George?
So the DeLorean. You know about the DeLorean?
That's
the DMC-12.
The
car.
Back
yes.
to the Future.
Back to the Future car. Yes. You know what it looks like with the gold wing doors.
Hideous.
Hideous. No, beautiful.
But it's people love it. It's it's got a cult following.
Yes. So it's going to be yes, it is the Luke Skywalker of cars. You're right, absolutely. And Back to the Future made it famous. Stephen Wayne has waited a long time to revive this car, so he's bought the rights to the car.
Yeah,
and he's now going to start producing this car from some old parts. So not old parts as in used parts, but when this company went bang, it had a factory full of brand new parts to assemble the car. So he bought all of that, plus the rights to the name, and he's going to begin producing this car in limited numbers with a new engine and updated electronics.
They're still going to have those horrible doors that go up like gull wings?
With gull wing doors and also a stainless steel body.
Oy, and that shape.
And the shape.
It'll do well in Durban.
Probably.
Stainless steel, man. Of course. It's going to do well in Durban.
That's a good point. All right.
Of course it will. And then you must have heard that the legal blood alcohol limit has changed to 0% from June.
What does that mean? That we you cannot drink at all. If you even have a single drop of alcohol,
you're buggered.
Yeah, about time. What about the day after? This is the thing I find quite murky. Is if I've got on a bender on a Friday, can I not drive until what, like 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon?
What's the period of?
You know that your body consumes or metabolizes alcohol at a constant rate. It doesn't. If you drink more, your body doesn't metabolize faster. Your body metabolizes at a constant rate. So the more you drink, the longer it takes for the alcohol to get out of your body.
All right, but isn't this really, because in this day and age, no one should be driving drunk. Let's be honest. No one's on the side of drunk driving.
Exactly.
No one wakes up in the morning and goes, you know what we really should do is have no laws against drunk driving. Mm. That would be silly. But I don't know about this percentage thing, because to my mind, there are people who are able to drive after a beer, as well as someone who is tired and who hasn't had a single drink, but is way more of a hazard on the road because they're sleepy behind the wheel.
You've brought up the tiredness before. I think it's more of a hazard than
it's
alcohol.
It's way more of a problem.
But also old age.
How do you measure? How do you then measure whether somebody is competent to drive or not?
Well, this is the problem. And I think it's just another way for government to create regulations that they can get money out of you for. And this thing is just designed for the Metro Police to be able to extract more money out of people. It's not going to prevent people from drunk driving, because that's what they do. And dumb people will do that no matter what the percentage is.
What about those of us who eat hot cross buns?
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a thing.
That's a real thing.
We tested it.
Yeah.
So you tested it?
Yeah, yes, we had a breathalyzer in the studio.
And?
Yeah, it does, but
it reads.
It's temporary, yeah.
Yeah, it's temporary.
So that's how you get through a roadblock. You have 4 hot cross buns out of 6.
And keep the packet.
Keep the packet in your passenger seat. It's like, exactly. I've just had 2. Come on, I was hungry.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Have you ever been stopped?
Yeah.
And what do they say? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry, Miss Devi. Please go.
You won't believe what happened once. I get stopped. We're all in the crew car rushing off on a story in the Guptas, actually.
Wow.
The Metro cop guy puts – you know how sometimes they put their entire heads into the car?
They climb
into about that. Mm. He saw me. He got the shock of his life and walked backwards into oncoming traffic.
Oh, my God. Was he all right? He didn't get killed.
I just thought, imagine if something happens to him. I still had my seatbelt on, man. I wasn't doing anything.
But you do.
You should have got out the car and just stood there.
No, and then he said, no, just go.
Let me tell you something. People talk a little bit about women empowerment and you know, people who are – there's a lot of gender-based violence in this country, very serious things. But I'll tell you, an ad for women who are empowered is you. Like, you just walk into a room and there are men, grown men, that will run screaming for the hills. Now, I don't believe that there's anyone who has that kind of immunity but you. You could probably, it's like a Jedi mind trick. You almost can make CEOs,
it's my superpower,
politicians, and you walk in and you're actually a very pleasant person. I've been around you a lot of times, but these people have an idea in their heads that you are this terrifying monster.
It's because she's a human lie detector and you can't hide yourself.
That's a hell of a skill. I still want to know how you developed that.
It's a years of associating with crooks.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So she's definitely heading up the Gupta Empire. There we've got a clue. All right. So what else, George?
So with this 0% tolerance on alcohol and driving, we probably will have the demerit system come into place with it.
Yes.
And if you get more than 12 demerits on your license, it will be suspended for a period of 3 months.
Okay.
So...
Knock yourselves out.
Again, let's see if they can police it. But in Holland, a Dutchman crashed his RSQ8, brand new sports car, into a river just after 20 days of having the car.
What an idiot. But it is difficult to drive in Holland because they've got all those canals and lakes and rivers. And then
finally...
So many cyclists.
Yeah.
Do you know of this sport, Ben, called skijoring?
They do it on the East End. Doesn't it sound like something like that?
It does. Skijoring. Hey, Brew, you want to come join us for some skijoring today? Gonna do it like 6 o'clock on there by Snake Road.
Yeah, sorry, George. I'm not a skijoring.
It's not a skijoring
fan. What is it?
No, I've never heard of skijoring in my life, but it's dragging a skier behind a car.
Oh, that's cool.
And Bentley has got involved in this now. It's apparently been revived in 2017, and it started out decades ago. It started off actually before cars. Horses used to drag skiers, and it is an actual sport.
Huh. I wonder if it'll be an Olympic sport soon. I mean, they've made chess an Olympic sport. Anything goes.
Mm.
It's ridiculous.
Skijoring.
All right. Well, there we are. But it probably is something on the East Rand as well. In addition to that, it's just different on the East Rand.
Mind dumps, East Rand, skijoring, it all goes. Exactly.
You can see it on a Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
And then finally, following the Tesla story, the Tesla stock price has continued to climb and is now at $644 US.
Well done, Elon Musk.
I think he's silencing the naysayers.
So yeah. What he should do, he should buy the DeLorean and then there should be a Tesla DeLorean.
Oh, that would... That,
see?
An electric car. I think
smart
you're right.
Smart marketing idea.
Because then the DeLorean would be like this like boutique-y kind of side product that they have purely for shits and giggles.
The DeLorean actually fits with his style.
It does. Completely. Yeah. The whole brushed silver steel thing.
Just before we say goodbye to Devi, is there any place or any assignment that you were ever given that you didn't want to do that you were actually scared?
There was one. That was a story on the tow trucking. Yeah.
Those are dodgy.
No, that's a whole other different ball game.
I reckon there are two industries in this country, three maybe, that you don't go into. You don't do too much investigation of. One is the tow trucks. Number two is the taxi industry, because there's some serious gangsters in that. And the third one is football.
Yeah.
No, really. I think those are, aren't those the scariest three?
I agree.
No, football's the biggest thuggery in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, 100%. But you see now, in my case, you can be scripted to do those stories, but you're still going to have to do it.
Wow.
Well,
so it's not about a choice.
When you did the story around the dodgy car dealers, we circulated that story to make sure that if anybody applied and they fitted into that that group, that would be flagged.
So you basically scared them off of Auto Trader as well.
Well, they didn't come near us.
Yeah. Well, you see, look at how you changed people's lives. You didn't know that you'd had that effect on George and his business.
No, sorry, man.
No, good. It's good. Got rid of some dodgy people.
George only got one helicopter.
Without
now.
Being, we've had a lot of fun this morning, and it's always great to have you around. And I mean, I love to have fun with you because people don't know how much fun you are. But I have to tell you, your contribution is enormous, and what you've done for television, let alone for journalism in this country, is huge. And I'm just really, really pleased that we've had the quality and the caliber of people like you in our. In our news media.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you.
So long may it continue. I don't know what's next for you, but you'll let us know. Devi Sankari, Governor, thank you very much. George Meany, thank you very much. And thanks for joining us. We will see you Monday. But coming up, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the world's number one astrophysicist. I got to speak to him for an hour last week. And you get to be a part of that too. So you can join us on cliffcentral.com and you can share in this really interesting conversation and all the others that you can find as podcasts. Just go to cliffcentral.com and look up whatever you're interested in. You will find a podcast for you. Happy Friday. Cliffcentral.com.